Thanks for tuning in to Good Vibrations with Kristen. Are you ready to be inspired?
Do you want to have a greater connection to the earth, each other, and ultimately yourself?
So then join in the conversation with me, Kristen Ace, and
me, Green Diva Meg,
and our fascinating guests to share the light, the laughter, and the illumination of good vibrations. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Good Vibrations with Kristen. I'm Kristen, and
Hi.
And Megan is sitting across from me doing something, paying attention to me.
I know. Pay attention to me. Hi, everybody. Green Diva Meg reporting in for Good Vibrations duty.
Yes.
And I heard this hum, and I was like, why is that?
You know, that's funny. I heard it, too, and then all of a sudden it went away, and I was like, that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's fixing things.
Yeah.
We have in the studio today Greg Crawford. He is the owner of my training gym, and he wrote the book, The Brain Detox. He has been on before, but we're going to fill you in a little bit in case you didn't hear that podcast.
Greg, although we should just recommend that you take a break, go listen to that podcast.
And then come back.
And then come back.
Yeah. Well, you should listen to it anyway because
we'll
it was
wait.
Fabulous.
Go ahead.
But Greg, you inspire people through your writing and through the work you do at your gym to be more conscious physically and in a healthy way. So that's very exciting.
Yep.
But you had some trouble with the law when you were younger, which took you to a place of, I call it darkness, mm-hmm. you know, and we were talking before we turned the mics on that we all explore the darkness. It is part of ourselves. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's not there. We do have that within ourselves, and it's interesting and exciting to explore the darkness.
Well, of course, darkness is all part of life. I mean,
right.
You know, winter, there's the seeds in the darkness, whatever.
Right.
We all grow in darkness.
Right. And we have to explore it, but some of us, and I would put myself in the category of some of us explore it a little deeper than others,
right.
And that was your experience.
Yep.
So,
well, yeah, I mean, I think everybody goes through that time, like you said, and we all go through different types of darkness, you know, how deep it goes, you know, is individual. But,
right.
Yeah, I decided to, you know, be honest about my story and, you know, talk about it more to the public, to people that read my emails, to my members.
Right.
You know, for a while, it was more of like a shameful thing.
Mm.
And I learned, I learned to get over that. I learned to forgive myself, move on. And now I just feel like if I'm going to motivate people and inspire people, I have to be just totally transparent with who I am, my past.
Right.
So they know who I am. And some people are going to, appreciate that. Some people, you know, it might deflect people, but
I think it's way more interesting to be inspired by somebody who's been through a struggle. Me personally.
Well, yeah.
Because I personally want to know this person went through something and they're inspiring me to do this. Just for all my listeners out there, it's not like I have been spiritual my whole life and grounded and centered and meditating. I had to find my way to this. I actually think I was born with all of that, but life kicks you around a little bit and you start kicking around back and you start exploring the darkness and different things and you can find yourself on a path that maybe isn't so positive.
But isn't that the path of almost all the great spiritual leaders?
Absolutely.
I mean, St. Francis had a very challenging time.
Right.
I don't know, you know, the details of the story at the moment. I can't conjure them up. But we all know that,
right.
that you know, Siddhartha, for instance, Buddha, you know.
Right.
You know, the story about being human.
Well,
and
Christ did have a little
nailed
bit of
to a cross thing. You know, there's that. But he had his humanness as well, I believe.
Right.
And, you
Absolutely.
Know, I resonate with stories when people are their authentic selves, which we talk about a lot here, and they're just who they are.
Right.
And the light shines through so much better when people are honest about just who they are.
And so I want to ask you, because I want to talk about this. So here you are, you've had your scrape of the law, and you had to go to jail for a while. So what was it that inspired you to shift? Like, you talk about how you read Tony Robbins, you quote lots of powerful, inspirational people when you talk to other people. You have it in your book. Why did you just not go, hey, I'm going to learn how to do this thing better, and when I get out of jail, I'm going to do it better and not get caught next time? What made you go, I got to turn this around?
Well, I think the real darkness actually was right before I went to jail. There was a period of time where I wasn't sentenced yet to do my jail time, so I was just going through the system and the courts and the process.
Ugh, that anticipation must have been horrible.
Yeah, when you don't have a light at the end of the tunnel,
yeah.
That's true darkness, and that was the worst period. When I finally got sentenced and I actually had to go do the time, you know, there was that glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel now, because now all I had to do was the time, and finally move on with my life.
Yeah, but while you're in the darkness and you don't see the light, what the bleep? You know, how do you not just give up hope and say, forget it, my life is over, I'm screwed? How do you do that?
It's hard. I mean, there was times where I really was like in a bad place, and, you know, I didn't want to be a burden on the people around me too much. I mean, I was already a burden on my parents because they were, you know, what I put them through from getting arrested. So I think I just, you know, I just got through like that period of darkness just by, you know, staying hopeful and you know, just having some faith that it's going to work out in the end.
Well, I think that's the key word.
Because the time in my life that I was probably at one of the darkest periods is I was drinking a lot and definitely into the drug world. And I had a boyfriend who was cheating on me constantly. I was in a job that I hated. I wasn't in. I had taken a path of better get a real job instead of an acting job to make my parents happy and, you know, and be able to make a living for myself. I was dying basically in my soul, and, you know, someone dropped a book in my lap. And I talk about it all the time, but it literally was life changing for me. But during that time, I was also having dreams. Like, spirits were coming to me. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know they were people, you know, spirits from the spirit world or angels, but they were coming to me and they were talking to me in my dreams. And I would wake up from these dreams and go, wow, that was a weird dream. Like, that person came and sat on my bed and said, you can do anything, Kristen. You can do anything. But for some reason, I was able to hear the dreams when I couldn't hear anything else and stay hopeful. Mm-hmm. So was there anything? Because to me, staying hopeful in the dark is really seriously.
Wasn't that
the
definition
hardest.
Of faith, though? It's like a blind. You
yeah,
know,
but
like you
where
can't
do you
see.
Get...
You can't see anything. You just, yeah, I know.
Right, but I had no spiritual training at that point. Yeah. I wasn't brought up with religion. I didn't believe in a higher power.
Yeah.
So you're sitting in that darkness. How do you remain hopeful? What makes you say, you know, when I get into jail, I'm going to read these inspirational books instead of going, you know, getting angry and getting deeper into the darkness? What happens?
Well, I think with faith, I think, you know, whatever you believe in, the universe, God, whatever, you know, finally brings you a message, you know. And
right, one way or the other,
you know, whether it's a person that comes into your life or whether, you know, you pick up a book and you read an author that's inspires you.
Right.
All it takes is that one little glimmer of inspiration.
That blip.
And yeah, the biggest thing for me that really helped me too in my life was reading books.
Right.
I never read in school. Right. I was like, you know, when you would get the book projects.
Yeah,
I would
never
read the books.
Right.
I just failed the test because I just hated reading.
Right.
And now you got time to kill.
I got time to kill. Well, for the first time in my life, like, I mean, I don't think people realize how powerful, like, a book is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have your hands. You have access to a person that is probably the most successful or inspirational person on the planet they're pouring their heart and soul into words on in this book for you for $10.
Right. Yeah.
For right? you to get, you're getting inside their head for $10. So I can't overemphasize the power of reading certain books.
Well, any books, really, to be honest with you. My mother instilled that in me as a kid, that you could travel, you could explore, you could dream, you could, you know, that books were this rich, rich place of your mind. And I taught my children to read very, very early, and I couldn't punish them. I couldn't send them to their room. You know, that was not a punishment, because they'd be like, fine, I'm going to take your book and go read.
Yeah. Well, I was like Greg. I did not read. I read the books that were required in school, and I did well, but I hated every second of it. I just hated reading. But I also, part of mine was a pushback to my dad, because he was an English teacher, and it was all about literature, and it was all about the knowledge that you use your mind for. And I was more of an intuitive kid, so I was picking up the underlying messages of the book, but not enjoying that part of it until I was older.
Yeah, when you have a purpose for reading the book, it changes it.
Yeah, that's true.
I noticed for myself, when if I'm not reading, my head gets clogged. You know, I can't think as clear. I don't get inspired as much. But when I stay on my reading schedule, every book I read, you know, I get probably 2-3 main messages from that book, which inspire me to do other things, write other things. Come up with, I get more creative.
Well, as a writer, I will say that reading is incredibly important for me. And I find that when I don't read as much, my writing kind of gets dull.
It gets uninspired. You said you became inspired. And so then you become inspired and you decide, I'm going to go out there and inspire others.
Yeah. Fitness comes easy to me. You know, I've always been into it. So it's easy for me, and I've always been good at helping other people with that. So when I came out, fortunately, I had a cousin, you know, God bless him, he helped me. He gave me a job right out of coming out. He had a construction business. Mm-hmm. So I worked for his construction business for about a year. And it was great just getting out, getting on my feet, but it wasn't, you know, truly what I wanted to do with my life.
Right.
So eventually I parted ways with him, you know, on good terms, obviously, and decided I want to get back into fitness, back into working with people, coaching people, because that's what I was really good at. So that's what started the next journey.
Well, it's great, too, that the great thing about all of this is that you listen to what you do well. You know, like we all have these things that we do well and we're passionate about. And we're told often, well, you can't make money at that. Well, you're not going to do this at that. Well, how are you going to do that? Instead of taking that spark of this is what I'm good at, this is what I'm passionate about, how can I take this into the world and be a light in the world with what I do well, with what I'm great at?
I want to just talk for a minute about the dark night of the soul, because that's kind of what I feel. You're familiar with that term? It's you know, it's every, supposedly everybody goes through this dark night of the soul.
Well, it's where you really start to find out, you know, who you really are.
Well, it's when you feel like you're cut off from light and you're in that dark place and you feel like there's nothing. And that's
that moment.
But there's
a reason for that. The reason why we go through that is so that we can find out what our light is and shine it more clearly.
That's what I was going to say, is it seems to me that those are the opportunities in life where people can either just kind of give up and fall into the darkness, or that's where they get their spark. And and that's from there that everything kind of lights up.
Well, the definition of being a coach is shedding light on darkness.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I like that.
That's fabulous. So that's right. So here we are. We're in this place where we're like, what am I? And I just, for me, it's really important for everyone out there to understand that everybody goes through that, and that the successful people that you see standing in front of you or writing their books or coaching you at the gym, they've been through that, and they're here to tell you that you can move through that, right?
Yeah. And it might, for someone, it might just be they're not in a healthy place physically.
Right.
Maybe they're, you know, they're holding on to weight they don't want to hold on to. Their diet isn't good. maybe diabetes, whatever it is, you know, that's, they need a coach to get them out of that place. Cause it's hard to do it all by yourself. You know, you need support, you need accountability.
Right.
I even have a coach, you know, business coach that pushes me.
Right.
And so, do you find that, that people that you're working with, maybe that are struggling with their weight and they can't seem to get past certain habits or whatever, that it's attached to some kind of emotional or spiritual issue as well?
Yeah, I would say that one of the biggest reasons for that is stress.
Yeah.
We live in a very stressful world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're very busy, jobs, family life, finances, whatever it is. Everyone's under some type of stress. So the reason I wrote the Brain Detox is because we have to start changing our mindset, our behaviors,
right,
and learn how to deal with our emotions towards stress better. Because ultimately, that's what derails us from our goals, is that stress, because now, you know, it leads down a different path of stress eating or...
Oh, yeah. My God, I did it yesterday. So I, you know, went through this whole cleanse and lost 21 pounds and feel amazing. Had some very intense things happen yesterday. And all day I was good until like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went downstairs and I got ice cream and caramel sauce.
Oh, wow.
I ate it.
Wow.
But I don't feel good today.
Yeah.
I don't feel good today.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm here. I'm up. I'm doing my thing. But I'm a little fuzzy in my body. So,
but you notice the difference.
Yeah, I do. But that doesn't mean, and I knew when I did it. I knew when I did it that I wasn't going to feel good today. But I didn't have, I didn't go to my the answers that I know to do, which is meditation and quiet thinking and blah, blah, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I just went to the, this will make me feel better right this very second.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So that's what you're talking about, is changing those behaviors.
Yeah.
Knowing
the difference between immediate pleasure and long-term pleasure.
Shoot.
Yeah, isn't there those times where you're just like, oh, F it.
That's how I felt yesterday, yeah, but like, today.
And that's, you know what? Sometimes that's okay, too. You
right.
know, you yeah. can't, you can't beat yourself up.
Right, right.
Sometimes you just have to say, F it.
I'm going to have ice cream.
and have ice cream, you know, but consistently, whoops, if you want to make progress,
right.
you know, you have to.
Right.
Well, you do have to.
Meditate more often than say, F it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the key?
Well, and shifting your whole behaviors around everything. So I like how when you were sitting in that place, and so you're doing your time, you're reading books of inspiration instead of feeling sorry for yourself and getting yourself deeper and deeper into the darkness, which was what happened for me. It was reading that book, and then it was starting to go to seminars, and then what it did for me is it opened up the divine messages that were all around me, but I couldn't see or mm-hmm. feel except through my dreams.
Yep. And you have to be around the right people.
Okay,
right.
I have a question. So when you were in the joint and you're reading these inspirational books.
The joint.
When you were doing your hard time in the joint. Were there other guys that like, were there any guys that were like kind of cool with this kind of stuff that you could talk to about this, or was this like no?
Oh yeah, I mean, I was away with all different types of people. So, you know, a lot of guys away for doing selling drugs.
Yeah,
but there's also a lot of white collar guys in there. You know,
right? Because you're in a federal facility,
right? So you have, I mean, you're in there sometimes with lawyers and CPAs and some smart people. So you
want? They're not that smart because they got caught.
Well. Exactly, but
so were there any group of you that were sort of drawn to each other that were kind of, you know, into positive, or
were you kind of by yourself?
Yeah, well, when you get in there, the people that you would most relate to somehow find you.
Yeah,
you know?
But isn't it like energy?
Yeah,
attracts energy. So like energy attracts like energy. It's true.
Yeah.
So
and then, you know, the New York guys tend to stick to the New York guys, and the, you know, it's...
And you're a Jersey boy, so what the heck?
Well, I'm actually a New
Yorker. He's a New York guy.
Now I'm a Jersey boy.
No,
okay, because I hear the New York. I just wasn't sure.
A transfer.
So, yeah, you ultimately find your group of people that you hang out with, and then from there, you you keep refining that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really want to be bothered with that guy. So
well, it's kind of like life.
At the end of the day, I had a very small circle in there that I kept around.
But were they fairly like positive? You know, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, a lot of guys are very entrepreneurial in there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of discussions right. about what type of businesses they're going to start when they get out.
Right.
So there was some positive things.
See, I think that's key. Like you just said, being around positive people, even in jail, you got to find your peeps.
You have to find your peeps. You have to get around the right people.
And if your peeps are drug addicts and or drug lords and all that stuff, time to change your peeps. Like, you got to change things if you're going to shift things around.
Yeah, or if you want to lose weight and you're hanging around with
right.
a lot of, you know, your friends that are complaining that they have to lose weight, then, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. So
right.
you have to get around people that are positive, right. that right. are going to... Hey, you know, come to this gym. You know, it's very positive.
Right.
You get a lot of support.
I got to tell you, when I did my cleanse, I didn't have a lot of support.
Yeah.
I did not have a lot of support. I did mm-hmm. find that people said some really negative things to me about it. And
I supported you, didn't I?
I know you
was
did.
Was I a good girl?
Yeah, you were wonderful. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, but there were people that gave her a hard time.
I think it brings up fear for people. So the change.
Yeah.
You know, the change.
If you're going to embark on a new journey or something exciting for you,
right?
Not everyone is going to understand your journey and your excitement.
So. No kidding.
My brother said to me once, I know I've said this before, Kristen, just because you're enlightened doesn't mean everyone's happy for you. And I was like, oh my God, really? Because I figure, I'm happy. Isn't everybody happy that this happy thing is happening to me? But I find that that's not really true, which is when you need to change your peeps, guys.
Yeah.
You need to change your peeps.
Well, you know what I find is sometimes when I'm, you know, I find this as a recovering alcoholic. And for instance, you know, if I'm at a party with some old friends, haven't seen them in a while, some kind, whatever, and they know I'm not drinking and recovering, and they're obviously having issues. It's like the reflection for them is so painful. I mean, I had one guy just follow me around and I'd go, I really want to quit. I really do. I really want to quit drinking. And I'm
that's
like,
heartbreaking.
Dude, you know, I'm.
Let me ask you a question. Is it okay? Like, are you being a friend if I would like to drink in front of you?
But doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
I wasn't sure.
I think if you're getting wasted in front of, you know, somebody who's sober, I think it shows that you have a problem and that I think a lot of times when you're around a sober alcoholic, your own behaviors are going to start to reflect back to you whether you have a problem or not.
Oh, the stories. I've had people, this one guy just followed me around all night at a different thing saying, what do you mean you don't drink? What? Mm. I don't understand. How do you not drink? What? I don't. And he just all night long tried to give me wine. And I'm like, no.
I think it's different if you're partners with somebody. I think if your partner is a drug addict or an alcoholic or a gambler or a sex addict, then you don't go buy him sex toys or gambling material or alcohol or drug. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's different, I think. Yeah. I think, you know, people have to live in the world and recovering people also have to live in the world with everybody else.
But I find that, like, I don't announce things, but, you know, like, okay, so you're eating really well and you're not eating sugar.
Right.
And so, then there are people around you sometimes who are going to be like, I can't handle that because it's
well, also don't
triggering
give me a big
whatever.
Box of candy.
Yeah.
Well, like when my neighbor David lost 60 pounds. And I used to, I'm an amazing baker, so I would bake for him and give him warm cookies when he was working at my house and stuff and homemade bread. And he was like, I'm off bread and cheese. He said, I'm off bread and cheese for a year, basically. So I started giving him fruit for his birthday and things like that.
Well, there you
and he
go.
Was like, thank you.
That is really sweet.
Well, you know.
Well, it's like the people that do the challenge at my gym, the weight loss challenge.
Oh, yes.
And then they go into work with their... You know, their coolers or their Tupperware with the all the clean
with
eating
the lean
food.
Meats
and
the
all their
vegetables.
Colleagues are looking at them funny, like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?"
Right.
And they have pizza and donut.
Because
in
it
the
makes them. I'm telling
room.
You, when you walk around with your light like that, people sometimes
it
shows the shadow that they're
right.
in. I don't know how to. I'm not being articulate,
yes,
but I know what I mean.
Yes, you're shining the light on the darkness,
and then it makes
people
them,
have to look at their stuff.
They don't want to do that.
you know.
But well, sometimes they do because sometimes well, they do, what though, we because do inspires
at,
others.
That's right. Because look at Greg. Look yeah. at me. Look at you. We've all experienced darkness in a very profound way, and somebody else's light,
yes,
filtered through.
Absolutely.
So we're at the end. We have to wrap up. But you know, is there anything? Can you give everybody out there just little pieces of light so that they know that they can move forward either physically, emotionally, spiritually, because you do it all. The thing about your gym that I love is it's not just about losing weight and getting skinny and blah, blah, blah. It's about what's your mental health, what's your emotional health, what's your spiritual health, what's your food health. It's all combined. You take the trifecta and put it together. So give us something to go home with.
A pearl of wisdom. No pressure. Okay.
Well, I think you should go out there, find the best at what they do,
mm-hmm.
research, reach out to the best, and get some coaching, get some support. And then it's really important that you got to set yourself up with some structure. You know, you have to have more structure in your life and, you know, believe in yourself and go out there and get it. It's, you know.
Because it's out there waiting for you.
It's out there waiting for you. Go get it.
Go get it, girl.
Yeah, I like that. Well, everybody, we're all going to go out there and get it, and it's all going to be good. Go out there and look for the light, you guys, because the darkness is there, but you can simply shine light on it, and it will go away. It will recede.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Bye-bye.
All right. I love you guys. We hope that you found this episode of GVK inspiring. And to raise your vibration even higher, visit my website at goodvibrationswithkristen.com.
And don't forget to like Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook.
What inspires you?
Write us, let us know, so we can share your ideas on the show.
And meanwhile, keep listening, keep connecting, and know that you are divinely guided.